The world is astonished by the Israeli success of vaccinating the country. In Israel, they already vaccinated 2 million people, 2 million citizens were vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, as far as I know, maybe also Moderna, but basically against the virus. It's over 20% of the country. There is a little more than 9 million citizens, 9.4, something like this. Now, if you take in account that anybody younger than 16 is not being vaccinated, in Israel, there is 2 million people younger than 16. It's a very young country. Now it makes it almost 7 million people from the people who are supposed to be vaccinated, who are candidates. Then there is more than 500,000 people who already got COVID-19. They were already infected by the virus. Most of them have antibodies. Then you take off this 500,000. And it's almost a third of the country is vaccinated. In comparison to America, somebody told me today there's already 10 million people vaccinated in a country that has probably 340 million people. We have a long way to go. That Israel is by far ahead of any country in the world. And Israel will become the case study of the world. The whole world wants to know, how is it going? What will be the number, how much of the society, of the population has to be vaccinated to make a difference, to stop the virus to spread? In addition, Israel has a very good data that's collected already for years about every patient in Israel. Because it's a socialist country, it's a socialist medicine, a medical system, then they collected over years, it's one system or a few systems of computers. Basically, they collect the data and everybody knows from each other. They share the data. Then they can follow for everyone who was vaccinated. It's linked to his file. And they will be able to know in a year, in two, if there is any side effects, if it's going to cause other problems in humanity. It's basically going to be a place for research for the whole world, not just for Israel. Because it's a small country and they will be able to record and follow up and to see exactly what happens. And the question is, what's the secret? How was Israel able, was successful in a place where any other country failed? Even America, that is already considered a high number, in other countries, they are much further behind. What happened? What's the secret? Then the first secret is what the Rebbe used to say, the answer. Then it's written about Israel, that this is a land that the eyes of God are in the Holy Land from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. What means the eyes of God? God watches the whole world. But Israel has special attention from God. Therefore, there's no surprise that Israel is doing better. They have a special blessing from God. The Holy Land, the Holy People. But there is more to it. Cannot be more than the eyes of God, but there is another side to it that maybe gives more logical explanations too. In October, it was in Italy, a convention. Then the Senate, I think the government with some entrepreneurs put together, I think it was called Awakening or Revival, something like this. The rebirth of Italy, that's what they called it. And the purpose of this convention is how to bring renewal to the country, how to bring high tech, how to revive the economy, how to wake up the place, the country. The keynote speaker for the opening session was the Israeli ambassador to Italy. They turned to the Israeli ambassador and they told him, tell us your secret. How you became a startup nation? What is your new history that would help you to become this, bring you this success? When he spoke there, he said something very interesting. He said, you called your convention awakening. Awakening means somebody sleeping and he wakes up. Then there is somebody, it could be, you know, if you call it revival, can somebody who died? What's the difference, he asked, what's the difference, somebody who is dead and somebody who is just sleeping? Beside the point that this guy is breathing and the other guy is not. What's the difference on a more intellectual level, if you want? The difference is one thing, the dream. Somebody who sleeps can dream. When the Jewish people were exiled from the land of Israel, the rabbis, the leaders, the prophets know that one day we come back to the land of Israel. But we need to preserve the identity as Jewish people, the love to Israel. We need to make sure that the Jewish people don't assimilate. Then they put in the prayer book, became a part of the prayer towards returning back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem became not just a physical geographical place, it became the dream of the Jewish people. In many people in the world pray to God. What they pray for? Health, success, health of friends. The Jewish people, on top of all of this, they pray also for the returning to Israel, for fulfilling the dream of going back to the Holy Land. Grace after meal, many other religions say thank you to God for the food. They just say thank you for the food. The Jewish people say, in addition, thank you for the food, but God, thank you for Jerusalem. Bnei Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Bonei Berachamav Yerushalayim, Amen. The one who builds Jerusalem, soon we pray for Jerusalem, we pray for the dream. The Jewish people developed the power, the gift of dreaming. And as the Rebbe once said, a Jew is a dreamer, because if not for the power to dream, he would never be able to survive the suffering of exile. What is a dream? There is the reality, and a dream elevates you above the reality. A dream gives you the power that the reality should not depress you. You can see things that the reality says it's impossible, but in your dream, it's possible. It could happen. There is a story about a Hasidic Jew who was in the gulags, in jail. And one day they were they were chopping wood. And middle of nowhere in Siberia. And he remembered that today is Simchas Torah. He closed his eyes and he started to dance. All the other prisoners, they were all excited and they started to applaud them and sing with them and dance with them. And they felt just, oh, look, this guy gives us amazing entertainment. But he closed his eyes and in his mind, he was in his own synagogue with his friend, holding a Torah in his hand and dancing. He was able to forget about his bad reality, his sad reality, and to be in a different place. The ability to think above the boundaries of reality, that's what the dream gives you. For example, back to the vaccines. Pfizer sends every box of vaccine with 1,000 small bottles. In every bottle, there is 5 or 6 doses for injections. If you take out one box on the freezer, within 5 days, you have to use it all up. If not, it's spoiled, you have to pull it out. In Israel, 1,000 bottles, that means 5,000 vaccines or 6,000 vaccines, portions, doses. What it will be if it's a small community? They came up with Pfizer with an idea that they opened the boxes, they divided it in smaller boxes, and they put them back in the freezers. Then every bottle, when you open it, you have to mix it with saline. I think it's like a type of salt. You have to mix it and then you inject it. From the time you mix it until you inject it, cannot go, it has to be less than 6 hours. When they open the bottles, they start to give people vaccines. If there is not enough people, people canceled, whatever, the law is only above 60, above 65. They go out to the street, call people, young people, you want a vaccine, come here. They make sure not one portion, not one dose is being wasted. That's called thinking out of the box. That's called being able to dream, to think of innovative ideas. And this brings us to the parsha of this week. We read this old parsha, a continuation from last week's parsha. It's about the Exodus from Egypt. Last week we read about Moses meeting with God at the burning bush. God is telling him, please go become the Redeemer. Take the Jewish people out of Egypt. One of the arguments that Moses says to God, he said, they will not believe me. God told them, what do you have in your hand? He said, a staff. He says, throw the staff on the floor and turn it into a snake. Why a snake? Because the snake is associated with Lashon Hara, with gossip. The snake spoke gossip about the tree of knowledge in the old story, the tree of knowledge, the first story in the Bible. Then God tells them, if this sign will not be good enough for them, put your hand in your bosom. He takes it out, and his hand became leprosy. He got leprosy. Why leprosy? Again, because leprosy in the Bible is a punishment for Lashon Hara, for gossip. Why again gossip? God told them, as Rashi says, how dare you speak gossip on my people? You say they don't believe, they will believe you. Moses went, they actually believed them. They were accepting him. Yeah, we are ready to be redeemed. It's time. They were all excited. Then Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, told them the famous line, let my people go, and they should serve God in the desert. Pharaoh said, forget about it. They're not going anywhere. Not only they're not going, it made things worse. If until now, they had a certain amount of bricks that they have to produce, but the government gave them the material, now Pharaoh said, you collect your own straw, and you have to produce the same amount of bricks. Basically, things got much worse. Moses turned to God and said, God, why have you done this to me? Since I went to Pharaoh, things got worse, not better. God told him, don't worry, Moses. It's getting worse now. But I promise you that Pharaoh will allow them to, will send them out of the country and actually chase them out of Egypt. And then here is the beginning of this week's parsha. God tells them, the name of the parsha is Va'era. I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now he tells them, go tell the Jewish people, Be'otzeiti, I will take him out from the land of Egypt. I'll redeem him from the place. I'll save him from there. I will bring him to the land of Israel, the land that I give them as an heritage. A beautiful message, a comforting message that the Jewish people never heard before. Go tell him the four expressions of redemption, that's why we drink four cups of wine by the Seder. I'm going to take him out, embrace him to me, take care of them, bring him to the Holy Land. Moses went to tell it to the Jewish people. What was the reaction? The Torah tells us they didn't listen to Moses because of a shortness of breath and harsh labor. They were so immersed, so much suffering was there. The work was so hard, they didn't listen. They couldn't listen to him. The literal meaning is it's written the word kotzer ruach, a shortness of breath. You know, somebody is very busy, is breathing quick, he doesn't have time to even take one normal breath. But the word ruach means more than that, spirit, a shortness of spirit. They didn't have the ability to dream, to pick up the nose above the water and to see something that you don't see with your physical eyes. To look a little further, to have a dream. They were so suffocated by the tzores that they lost the ability to even see anything else more than the daily life, to survive the day. They couldn't dream. That's what the Jewish people need. That's what the Jewish people had during exile. the power to dream. The Talmud tells us that a dream is one of 68 of prophecy. Means if it's 60 minutes in an hour, that one of 68, it's 1 minute. It's something of prophecy. It's a little bit, you taste a little bit of prophecy. Then we have the power to see things that they're not, that don't look realistic. No, it's not real, it's not realistic, it will never happen. But if you have a dream, you can make it into a reality. That's the power of dreaming. If you continue to dream, you might be able to make it a reality. King David says, Al tigu bimshichai, it's something that we recited in the prayer, don't touch my Moshiachs. It Rashi says, what means my Moshiachs? My Moshiach means the little children. Every Jewish child can be a little Moshiach, a little Messiah, can bring redemption to a group, to the world. Ubinviyai al toreyo, don't touch my prophets. Don't hurt my prophets. Who are the Nevim? That's the Jewish people, the prophets. You know, when you're a child, every child could be the Moshiach. When he grows up, he says, a Moshiach, I will not be anymore. But maybe I will have a prophecy, I will have a dream that I can make it a reality. God willing, soon enough, the ultimate dream of the Jewish people will be fulfilled. The dream that's being created every day, more and more it becomes a reality. The coming of Moshiach will be in speedily in our days. Thank you all for joining.